Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. My favorite works of Dr. William Pierce, the founder of cosmotheism and of the National Alliance, are those wherein he concentrates less on current events and more on eternal themes. I found one such gem during the very hard work I'm engaged in right now, remastering the original audio recordings for our next William Pierce CD. It's called Improving Our Souls, and I am going to share it with you now. It hasn't seen the light of day or been published at all since its original airing in 1998. Thanks to you generous National Alliance members and supporters, I am able to do this important work, restoring these recordings to, as far as possible, their original studio quality. It's very painstaking work. In the text version of this broadcast, I'll include an image showing how many edits I made in just one Pierce recording in the Power of Truth CD series. It's a screenshot from one program I use for making these edits, Audacity. And most of the edits are to remove background noises, remove poor quality edits on the master analog recordings, and removing print through, a flaw common to magnetic tape recordings that have been stored for years. We also have other software which I use, Isotope and Ozone and a few others, which help me reduce tape hiss and correct for flawed microphone and tape response in the original masters. There are some new software programs that have become available. Waves Clarity VX is one among several I'd like to get that would do even better and help me work faster. Currently, it takes many, many hours to restore just one 20-minute speech. So if you have just $200 or so to help this project, earmark a donation to the National Alliance for that purpose, and it will really help me. I'll return after Dr. Pierce's speech with a few thoughts about the implications of this speech for our people today in 2022. The following are the words of Dr. William Luther Pierce. Listen.
Hello. Perhaps you won't mind if today I just share a few thoughts with you about where our people are now and where we're headed, instead of doing my usual news analysis. One of the things I've complained about often is that when so many terribly destructive things are happening to us, most of our people are simply remaining as spectators, refusing to lift a hand against the enemies who certainly will destroy us if we permit them. We have Bill Clinton in the White House, the clearest proof there could be that the present political system in America, the system by which we choose our legislators and our governmental executives, has gone completely haywire. We simply cannot have people like Bill Clinton as president and the gang of criminals in the Congress making our laws and expect America to survive. Hundreds of thousands of responsible men and women should rise up in righteous wrath against Washington and its system, but they don't. Or consider immigration. It is destroying America. Much of California and Florida have been transformed from white to non-white areas during the past couple of decades, and the same thing is happening in many other parts of the country. Areas which used to be clean, decent, and white have become third world jungles. Millions of people realize what is happening, but very few are willing to do anything about it except move to a whiter suburb. Most white Americans are even afraid to say anything about the darkening of America from fear of being denounced as racists by the loud-mouthed, bullying forces of political correctness. The Clinton government realizes that most of the people who don't like what is happening to America are suffering from moral paralysis at this time and will not rebel, no matter what the government does. And so the government keeps our borders open, knowing that every non-white immigrant is another supporter of the Clinton system, and to hell with the country. The schools are another indicator of America's illness. I've spoken on other programs about specific aspects of the school problem: a lack of order and discipline, lower standards, falling performance. The schools have become so bad that even the government is worried about them. But of course, no one can fix them because no one is willing to address the real problems behind the failure of the schools. The feminists and the egalitarians and the multiculturalists are instantly ready, with the support of the controlled media, to attack anyone who questions what they and their doctrines have done to the schools. And so the great social experiment in the schools goes on, with the pioneers of the New World Order laboring to condition the next generation of young Americans to be happy consumers in a more diverse and egalitarian society. And if occasionally the brainwashing doesn't take, and the kiddies become alienated to the point that one or two of them decide to blow away a dozen or so of their classmates and teachers, why then, clearly what's needed is even more diversity and more metal detectors at the schoolhouse doors. The clearest indicator that we have a very serious problem is in our people themselves. The young boys who wear backward baseball caps and baggy shorts and ape black speech and manners because they've been watching MTV and believe that it's cool to dress and behave like blacks. Then there are the college girls who slavishly follow every fashion in attire and grooming, no matter how ugly or silly, and every fashion in ideas, no matter how foolish or destructive. What's cool or fashionable or smart for our young people is whatever the Jews of Hollywood or Madison Avenue dream up and present to them in a slick and glitzy package. All too often, the Jews who are corrupting our young people have the eager assistance of fools or traitors from among those of us old enough to know better, and not just the politicians. Bill Gates's Microsoft Corporation buys full-page magazine advertisements promoting racial mixing. Bill Gates has enough money that he doesn't have to do that to please the Jews. Perhaps the most disgusting example of this sort that I have encountered recently is a new Hollywood film called Bullworth. It's produced, directed, and acted in by actor Warren Beatty. Beatty always has been a limousine liberal who fancies himself a philosopher and a revolutionary as well as an actor. He likes to play far-left roles, both in films and in real life. Back when the Black Panthers were chic, Beatty was one of their patrons. He's sort of a male Jane Fonda. There's nothing Jewish about him, except the ideas and causes he promotes. In Bullworth, he plays a suicidal politician with a few loose screws who finds salvation in racial mixing. Beatty is the type of idiot who professes the belief that blacks are somehow more honest and authentic and noble than whites, and that blacks have a lot to offer white society. He thinks that a mass rape of white women by blacks might be a good way to improve our society and at the same time solve the race problem, so long as he can watch from his limousine and offer philosophical observations. People like Beatty wouldn't be dangerous, of course, if the Jewish media didn't encourage them and provide them with a way to infect impressionable young whites with their sick notions. It is a fact, of course, that the majority of our young people take their cues from the Jewish media, if not from Sumner Redstone's MTV or Steven Spielberg's propaganda films, then from a television comedy series or slick magazine advertising or a politically correct comic book, or from a piece of filth like Warren Beatty's Bullworth. What we see around us today are the consequences of the ideas, the policies, the attitudes, and the fashions pushed by the Jews in the media for the past 60 years or so. They began very cautiously, gradually trying to make interracial sex seem trendy and smart, just as they began very carefully promoting the acceptance of homosexuality and trying to make feminism seem normal and reasonable. But today they are 1,000 times more blatant than they were just 20 years ago. There is hardly a film coming from Hollywood today, or a television series, or an advertising campaign in a slick magazine, which doesn't promote one aspect or another of the Jewish agenda on race or sex. So perhaps in this pervasive influence of the Jewish media, we can see the reason for the passivity of our people in the face of their imminent destruction. The Jewish poison paralyzes the will before it kills the body. And if that is so, is not our situation hopeless? Well, you know what the Jews are doing in America. They also are doing elsewhere, in Britain and in France and in Germany and in Russia and in a dozen other countries. Now, the situation is a little different in each of these other countries, but in most places, the Jewish program is about as far along as it is in the United States. And in some countries, it is farther along. In Britain and France and Germany, one sees exactly the same race-mixing propaganda and the same demand that nothing be done to slow non-white immigration and the same effort to make homosexuality acceptable that one sees in the United States. But in these other countries, the Jews have succeeded in outlawing their opposition. Anyone who identifies the poison as Jewish can be thrown into prison. So in France and in Germany, they have MTV, as well as their local equivalents of MTV. And they have their own idiots of the Warren Beatty variety helping the Jews push their poison. And it is a penal offense, a hate crime, for a Frenchman or a German to say in public, "Hey, this Jewish propaganda is poisoning our people." So one might be even more inclined to think the situation hopeless in Europe. Nevertheless, the people in some countries are not quite as passive as in the United States. And if we pay attention to what is happening in Europe, we may be more inclined to be optimistic about America's future. At the beginning of this decade, the communist regimes of Eastern Europe, having bled dry the countries they had ruled with a bloody fist and an iron heel since the end of the Second World War, or in the case of Russia, since the end of the First World War, quietly folded their tents. Actually, what the communist bosses did in most cases was switch hats, declare themselves Democrats henceforth instead of communists, and continue hanging on to as much of their power and their ill-gotten plunder as they could. And for a while, it looked as if they would get clean away with this swindle. There were no mass lynchings of the former commissars. There were no mass arrests, trials, and executions of those who had collaborated with the communist regimes. There was no campaign to hunt down and punish the criminals who were responsible for the murder of millions of anti-communist Russians and Ukrainians and Poles and Hungarians and Germans and Balts and Bulgarians and others during the time of communist rule. Even a blood-drenched monster like Lazar Kaganovich, Stalin's brother-in-law, the Jewish butcher of Ukraine, was permitted to die quietly in his Moscow apartment. This was at a time when the Jews and their bought politicians in the West were keeping public interest in their 45-year-old Holocaust sideshow alive by continuing to find and put on trial elderly Germans who were accused of having mistreated God's chosen people during the Second World War. In the West, the Jewish motto was, "Never forget and never forgive." And they used all of their media resources to persuade the world that they had suffered more than anyone else during the Second World War, and that the people who had made them suffer still needed to be hunted down and punished. But in the East, where they had ruled, their motto was, "Let bygones be bygones." Of course, the Jews had made it illegal to accuse them for their crimes, or even to defend too vigorously those whom they accused, which could be interpreted as minimizing the Holocaust, a criminal offense in places like France and Germany. And they had had a long time to kill off most of their potential accusers anyway. These lay in mass graves all across Eastern Europe, from Eastern Germany to the Urals. But the biggest reason for the non-revolutionary and in some cases almost imperceptible transition between communism and democracy in Eastern Europe and the failure of the people to undertake a thorough cleansing of their governments and other facets of public life in their countries is that the people of Eastern Europe are still becoming accustomed to not having the Jews' heel on their necks, and they haven't been able to organize themselves well enough to seize control of their own news and entertainment media yet. They are still governed by former collaborators of the Jews, now wearing democratic hats. Russia's vodka-besotted Boris Yeltsin is a perfect example of this. A Slavic version of Bill Clinton, Yeltsin pals around with Russia's Jewish crime bosses, appoints Jews to top positions in the Russian government, and enjoys the support of the Jewish media. But things are beginning to show promise of real change. There is an emerging nationalism all across Eastern Europe, and the Jews and their allies seem unable to stamp it out. In Russia, for example, the struggle between Russian nationalism on the one hand and Jewish cosmopolitanism and materialism on the other hand manifests itself at several levels. But the most noticeable level, the level which has attracted the most media attention recently, is the struggle on the streets between young Russians influenced by the two tendencies. In Moscow, St. Petersburg, and the other major cities of Russia, young Russians influenced by the Jewish spirit are loosely organized into gangs of so-called rappers. They wear the same backward baseball caps and baggy pants seen among white MTV fans in America. They idolize black street thugs, black film stars, and black sports figures. Many of them are the children of former Communist Party bureaucrats and other Russians who were relatively well off under communism. Drug addiction is very common among rappers. Opposing the rappers are the young nationalists, many of whom are skinheads. The nationalists abhor Jews and any other non-white presence in Russia. They have contempt for drug users, and they enjoy beating up rappers and non-whites that they encounter on the streets or in shopping malls or cafes. In early May, they provoked a bit of an international incident when they beat up a black Marine guard from the U.S. Embassy. Today, only a minority of young Russians are active nationalists, and only a minority of those can correctly be called neo-Nazis, despite the Jews' tendency to apply that label to all of them. Their numbers are growing rapidly, however, and 2 weeks ago, the bombing of a Moscow synagogue provided a public signal that they know who the principal enemies of the Russian people are. In Germany, one sees a similar opposition between young people under the influence of the Jews on the one hand and young nationalists on the other hand. The anti-nationalist element in Germany is a bit more diverse than in Russia and tends toward the punk style in music, dress, and grooming rather than the rapper style. But this element draws its inspiration from the same source as the rappers, although in Germany it is illegal to identify that source as Jewish. The German punks, like the Russian rappers, are heavily into drugs and MTV, and both groups have been taught contempt and hatred for their own people. The German punk element is augmented by Turks and other non-white immigrants, by homosexuals and feminists, and by some young middle-class Germans in the western part of the country who, though not sporting the spiked, dyed hair and slovenly dress of the punks, and not sharing their drug habit do have a similar hatred for their own people, the product of two generations of anti-German brainwashing imposed by the conquerors of the Second World War. German nationalists also are a fairly diverse lot. The German People's Union, whose unexpected victory in the provincial elections in Saxony-Anhalt in April has greatly alarmed the ruling German establishment, consists mostly of older people who are predominantly conservative as well as nationalist. A younger and more vigorous nationalist group, the National Democratic Party of Germany, has members who are much more radical. Some of the younger members also are skinheads. Until about a year ago, the German anti-nationalists liked to organize their punks to break up nationalist meetings and throw rocks and bottles at nationalist marchers because they outnumbered the nationalists. This year, however, trying to break up nationalist meetings and marches is a lot less fun because the nationalists, for the first time, are able to gather substantially larger numbers of young Germans together than the anti-nationalists can. The growth of radical nationalist activism in Germany has been even more rapid than in Russia. Especially promising is the fact that there is much mutual sympathy between young Russian radical nationalists and young German radical nationalists. They both understand who their common enemy is, although the Germans are not permitted to say so in public. There are several reasons for the brighter prospect for patriots in Germany and Russia than in the United States, but the most important and immediate reason is economic. Unemployment currently is 13% in Germany. The economy is even worse in Russia, and there is a glaring contrast between the lifestyles of Russian workers and the ostentatious wealth of the Jewish organized crime bosses and entrepreneurs. There can be no doubt that low unemployment, economic stability, and a reasonably high standard of living make most of our people in America cautious about doing anything to rock the boat. People will tolerate almost anything, no matter how much they may disagree with it, no matter how repulsive they find it, if they can tolerate it in comfort. Generally, it requires discomfort or anxiety about the future to move people to do what they know they ought to do. The old saying that suffering is good for the soul really applies in this case. The German and Russian people have been paralyzed by the same Jewish poison which has paralyzed us. But the souls of the Germans and the Russians are being improved by their current economic situations. If they are lucky, their souls will continue to improve long enough for their patriots to wrest political control and media control away from the traitors and collaborators. And you know, that also could happen in America. Certainly, the awareness of our fundamental problems here is increasing. What we need now is a substantial increase in our discomfort level so that our souls can improve enough for us to recover from our moral paralysis and begin doing what we know we should do. Perhaps the Germans or the Russians will teach us how. Thanks for being with me again today.
You've been listening to Dr. William Pierce's Improving Our Souls, a newly remastered track not heard or seen since 1998 from our upcoming CD release, William Pierce, The Power of Truth, Volume 12, which will be available soon at our Cosmotheist Books store. Since Dr. Pierce wrote, Vladimir Putin has consolidated his power, and Russian racial nationalists are suppressed and oppressed in a Russia that, while it opposes the Jew-ridden West, seems determined to establish itself as yet another multiracial empire, a doomed coffin for our race. German racial nationalists are also suppressed, and the West, including neutered and occupied Germany and Russia, are locked in a battle over which multiracial empire shall control Ukraine. For us in the National Alliance, we can only hope that the valuable inheritance, cultural and most importantly biological and genetic, of these white peoples, Ukrainians and Russians and Germans and all Europeans, remain as intact and as safe as possible while we give not one iota of our loyalty, energy, or time to these evil empires. But instead, use all of the life energy within us to build our racial consciousness, which is indeed improving our souls. Build our racial communities and build the National Alliance into a force which will sweep the death cults of democracy and Abrahamic religion and multiracialism from the face of the earth and establish a new order based on the survival and advancement of our eternal race.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism, fundamentally, is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with a conservative, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism. believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker, nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. There's no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody, send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books. And the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into power in Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a butt. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.